Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and if you're wondering where every single divorced dad is going to be on the weekend of July 18th, check Wisconsin. And with me, I have...
Is there a way to unplug and plug back in the weather? Because it's been very unbalanced as of late and I don't like it.
And...
We have a number of the day, and that number is... 5. Can you use it in a sentence?
Kendrick Lamar has 5 songs in the Billboard Top 10 this week.
Bingo!
It never stops being funny.
Yeah, I think we all saw the nearly 45-minute long Spectrum Pulse, not a review video. And yeah. Suddenly a lot of things make a lot more sense in regards to a certain industry deal and why certain terrible albums came out so fast. Jesus Christ, yeah. Aubrey, how much money did you actually piss away?
I actually got to send that to my... Because I've talked about this beef all the time in the house, and at one point, one of my roommates, if you know your lore, the Slipknot is mid roommate, was like, dude, someone's got to make me a playlist of this whole beef so I can listen to it. I'm like... I can do that! This is my thing! This is my very specific skill! So I throw all the songs at them, and even an annotated history, and I'm pretty sure I sent them the FD Signifier video essay just to be thorough. Because that is a pretty good video. It even comes up in that Spectrum Pulse video today at one point. But yeah, obviously, God, Drake, dude. Take the L.
You made a song called Give Me a Hug. And he's got to do Musical Mexican now?
Oh, that I'm still trying to wrap my head around. Like, seriously? Like, he thinks he's going to get fucking Peso Pluma to open up for him?
Ugh. Like, he's Bad Bunny. He's worse, buddy.
He's a shit-ass bunny is what he is.
Oh, and considering I heard the strings of either they either went up and maybe down, or I'm expecting is gonna be a dud, or I don't know, or not much of a what he's used to is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I'm not expecting any kind of significant album bomb. But anyway, here we are, episode 382. So, how's everyone's week or so been going?
Well, as I alluded to, the weather is very odd as of late. I'll explain it like this. On Super Bowl Sunday, it got to 80 degrees. A couple days later, it was barely 40 degrees. This week, we have sleet, freezing rain, ice, and snow on the way. And in a couple days after that, it'll be nice and sunny and 60 degrees. I want a way to unplug and plug back in the weather. Give it a full power cycle, let it reset itself. It's not working the way it's supposed to. And it's also causing my HVAC unit to just not know what to do. Yeah, these things are not meant to go on and off between heat and AC so frequently, especially in February. So, yeah, I am not looking forward to trying to figure out how to get that whole thing fixed. That's going to be a pain for the house. But, yeah, I'm just hoping that the unit doesn't actually fully die. Because if it dies, I'm fucked. And,
Lord.
Yeah, and besides that, it's just been more of the same.
Fair enough. Mark, what about you?
Well, for the past few weeks, I've been mostly stressed out. Mainly because, well, I know you saw my Blue Sky. I'm basically doing the digital pet. Digital panhandle. Can you lend a bro some? Can you give some money for some shit? To pay me for some shit? Because I got me stressed out every week. And I'm thinking maybe this week in my chair, considering, well, you know what? What's in this week? You know, I'm not going to go any further. I'm just saying, I'm hoping something good will happen this week, at least the next coming week, because it's getting kind of stressful and kind of annoying, and usually I don't like the ball. I'm gonna do the digital panel, but well, I mean it worked one time. That's it.
Never before have we wanted the IRS to come in clutch than we are right now.
Yeah.
Ah, fucking Doge.
These people are just... it's not even that they're trying to, quote-unquote, fix things. What they're doing is, let's say the U.S. government, as all the stuff that actually works, is like a giant computer. These people are taking out every single component, saying, obviously none of this works, but they're not replacing it with anything. So all you have left is just an empty fucking case.
You know, I feel like we can solve a lot of our problems right now by pushing Elon Musk down a large staircase.
How are we so much smarter than so many people in the world right now?
Because Warren selected them. That's why.
Man, I'm sitting here having to think about, like, because I really want to go to Boston in May. I'm just like, am I really going to risk flying there? Anyway, as for me, well, I think I came down with something again because I have the cough thing, but also, like, nasal congestion. It was just feeling really rough and scratchy. It's why we're recording this a day later than usual. But I'm at a point now where it's manageable. I can manage this shit. Aside from that, I've been going back into my... I've been doing a rewatch of Futurama, and I just got up to the first season of the Comedy Central revival, which, man, that it is so weird going through those first 9 or so episodes, because it's like... Yeah, sure, you have some pretty quintessential episodes, like the whole Inspector 5 thing with Bender and Hermes, and of course, the time machine that only moves forward in time. But god, iPhone and the Da Vinci Code are so much weaker than I remember in retrospect.
Yeah, some of those episodes are kind of too dated for their own good.
Even if one of them has some...
Jeff, take my money.
No meme at this point.
Fuck, I could have sworn I saw there was selling, like, a U2's figure of that scene specifically. Which I might consider, because, like, you know, as we say in this neck of the woods, fuck Funko Pops. Me and all my homies hate Funko Pops. U2's are where it's at. Like, in all seriousness, if you want some actual quality, like, vinyl figures and stuff, that's the one to go to. They even recently apparently made one for my boy Taro Sakamoto. Hell yeah, I love that for him. Also, playing a bit more Cult of the Lamb and more of the game that cannot be named. So, yeah, we were talking about this earlier. I don't think I mentioned on the recording, but a couple weeks ago we did an episode where I did, in fact, say the name of that game out loud. And my fucking roommate sold me out to the group chat. And so I had to pay out $1. I am very suspicious of the current environment.
I have not played in a couple weeks. I need to get back on that train because I need a good distraction from society. I also bought Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2, I think I bought. I don't know. I just looked stuff that's on sale on Steam and just buy them.
Yeah. So, question. Like, you say you had to put down a swear jar. What if we said it? Doesn't affect
us. I mean, you guys don't live here, so, like, I think y'all are fine. I mean, unless you want to move in here and help cheapen up the rent payments a bit.
I would, but Florida is not kind to people like me, so gonna have to pass.
That's a smart move. I'd follow suit, but I don't think anywhere is gonna be kind to people like me.
Well, for a while, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so, yeah, that's pretty much about it on my end. I did forget to mention something. So, I actually did play a show with my band the other day. Well, a couple weeks back. I forgot to mention last week, which was pretty fun. One thing that I thought was kind of amusing, though, was that in the corner, like, really, like, on the opposite side of the room where the stage is, they had like a old like fucking CRT TV set up and like just a bunch of movies on VHS that I guess they would run for shits and giggles. Like if you just choose to chill back there, I mean, that's where my band had a merch table set up. And for some reason, they ran through like two movies. The first movie they put on was Wizards. You know, the Ralph Bakshi movie that's kind of crap.
Ew.
Yeah, that was the one that was like before the Lord of the Rings one. And then the second was that fucking live action Masters of the Universe movie. Man, Hollywood was on something in the 80s.
Yes, they were on all of the drugs.
And, man, I wish that were me. Anyway, yeah, that's about it. So, now let's move on to the usual business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for new albums, all that jazz. So, let's throw it over to Mark to get things started with this first song.
Hey, so, you know, we haven't heard in a while? Like, really in a long, long while? Gangsta Doodles.
Gangsta
Doodles. Yeah,
that thing. I was like, yeah, what's been happening with them?
Yeah, well, we know Gangsta Volume 1 came out in 2019. Volume 2 came out in 2022, which I was a bit slow on because I didn't really know it until he was there. But now we're going to really jump to this. We now have Volume 3. Yeah, Volume 3 coming April 8th. April 8th. And we have an astounding 30 tracks.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a lot of doodles.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're mostly for your underground and, you know, in the know, hip-hop, rappers and artists, and, you know, there's a lot of people that some I do know, some I can't recognize some things I do know, and some, like, yeah, it's basically like, so I'm like, okay, I recognize that name, and I'm getting names that, well, we got the name that we don't recognize, because the first track we got here is from a lo-fi hip-hop producer named Swam. And the rapper is called Big Lordy, which I assume his name is also Ankle John. The track is called Shinto. It's a very short track. Like, okay. Here's the thing. Like, I got this info from the Bandcamp site. Like, the song's like a minute 47 minutes, and there's a YouTube like you'll hear on YouTube, which is much shorter, like a minute and 23 seconds. So we're gonna hear is some lo-fi with the piano, then with the beat sounds right, the rapping sounds, rapper sounds cool from a Big Lord, which rapper is cool. It's very, you know, we got that very chill vibe that, you know, you expect gangsta music, but yeah, it's really, but yeah, like it's something I think is okay, or it sounds pretty good, pretty short. And well, like I can say this, at least it's not the last track, it's track 27 out of 30. So, I mean,
allow it,
okay. This track is all right, it's pretty decent, like. I know, more to come, or whenever they're gonna, you know, bring out shit. But yeah, maybe get to this again. Also, need to get those albums and re-listen, since it's been a long time since I heard those albums. And I bought one on CD like a couple years back.
Nice. Alright, moving on to the next track here. So, as we all know, Clipping's newest album is dropping March 14th, titled Dead Channel Sky, going full in on the cyberpunk motif, as we heard with, you know, the previous single and all, as well as the single before that, before we even know there was an album. You know the deal. So now we have the newest single from the record here called Welcome Home Warrior, featuring Aesop Rock. You know, a fitting name to put into the whole Clipping aesthetic. And holy shit, is that a fucking Commodore 64 in the video?
Yep, it is.
I mean, makes sense, because, like, honestly, part of me wants to think that this beat is, like, mainly cribbing from the sound profile of the console and its various titles, like the glitched out vocal samples, the subtle buzzing bass, the fluttering 16-note melodies. It's definitely more chilled out than Change the Channel, but
yeah.
It's definitely just, like, production-wise, just kind of feels like just the sound of you sitting at your computer at, like, 3 in the morning. You don't even remember what you were looking at anymore. You thought you were looking up cat photos, but now you're diving on a rabbit hole of 15th century French philosophy. Or maybe the Japanese dating sim scene, who knows?
That's just the average TV Tropes experience for you.
Heyo.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a far cry from Chase the Channel. Like, this one, do a more slower pace. You got, and of course, you got Marvin the Beef, which is pretty good. And a stop rock versus great, you know, a stop rock, like, the tin tuffy in the red rum, Punk's Not Dead, but Red Rebel, Bell Rung, and Out Radical, like, basically something like that, a weapon to my soldiers, but like Charlie Brown's Christmas Tree, which, ew. this one's an interesting track, but it's pretty good.
Good stuff. Now moving on to the next track here. So a while back we had a new single from the band Pop, and it made sense to assume that there was probably some new material on the horizon, like a full album, and well, here we are. So, we have the newest album from the band, dated for May 2nd, titled Who Will Look After the Dogs? If you're thinking, wow, that title sounds oddly specific. Yeah, it is, but thankfully it's explained by this new single here, Hallways. The title is literally a lyric from that song. So, compared to Paranoid, the last single being more of an all-out banger, this one is a bit more serene-ish in its composition. Like, there's a steady driving tempo. It's not too super crazy. The guitars are very light on distortion. They kind of have, like, these sort of vaguely math rock chord progressions. Like, you know that tone of guitar and, like, the kind of melodies and everything. Not super crazy rhythmic-wise, but just, like, in their melodic construction. The distortion does come in on, like, a bit towards the last stretch if you want to mix things up there. And, of course, lyrically, the song is kind of about, like, the emotional inability to cope with the immediate aftermath of a relationship dissolving, I think. Admittedly, I'm kind of having a hard time telling if it's, like, a breakup, or if the other person died, or maybe a little bit of both. And just kind of, like, all the toxic negative thoughts that just kind of, like, come cascading through your brain in the immediate aftermath. But what stands out is that, like, while it's far from the only, like, song in their discography about bad relationships, the tone here, you know, lyrically and from Steven's vocal performance they're more emotionally vulnerable as opposed to the usual bitter, sardonic attitude of everything. It's like, I'm not sure what this indicates for the whole tone of the album as a whole. Maybe it's a little bit of both, but, like, for what it is, it certainly works in that regard if you want a more sincere pop song.
Yeah, I am also kind of not sure what the main focus is meant to be, but I have to ask, did he put his head in the microwave just to get a tan?
Yes.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, that is a reference to the Weird Al song, Dare to Be Stupid. You can dare to be stupid. Yeah, this certainly has a lot of those post-hardcore traits we all know and love, but I might pass on this album. This just didn't quite hit with me compared to other bands in the same style. Just not. This is just not my style.
They can't all be singers. By the way, you know Primus is selling branded fry pans?
I'm surprised it only took them that long to do it. What's next? A boat that actually sails on a sea of cheese?
I would absolutely buy that.
Better that than pork soda.
Ugh.
Ew.
I don't want to think about that. Anyway, heading back to the March release calendar for our next track here. So as we all know, the highly acclaimed art pop artist Spelling is dropping Portrait of My Heart on March 28th. And we have the second single here called Alibi, which features a very interesting guest contributor here, that being Pat McCrory, guitarist of the hardcore band Turnstile. I mean, it kind of makes sense. Like, that last Turnstile album was really going in a lot more melodious directions in compared to, you know, their previous stuff. So, I can sort of see the logic here. To me, this particular track, like, specifically with Pat McCrory's presence, it feels like, I almost want to feel like it's a more modernized take of, like, various 80s style of trends. Like, you could kind of hear, like, a kind of straightforward, like, pop rock instrumentation and, like, the chorus with, like, a bit of these spacey synth patterns. Kind of very, like, new wavy, in a sense, with that mild tinge of hardcore. Like, especially with Spelling's lush vocals all over it. It's like, yeah, it feels like it's trying to take that into the modern day filter through the particular strange world that Spelling likes to exist in. I kind of dig it. You know what? You're cool on this one, Pat McCrory. I may not be a Turnstile fan, but you and Spelling did good on this one.
Seconded. I still have no idea what Turnstile actually is, what genre they fit into, but a good performance is a good performance, and this is more my style. It feels kind of reminiscent of the early 2000s alternative style and genre and scene, but with a bit of extra polish on it. So on that note, it gets a thumb and a half from me.
And what happened to the other thumb half?
Maybe it's waiting for the rest of the album?
Oh, I thought you were going to make some kind of fireworks joke.
No, I'm not that clever.
None of us are. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Again, bouncing back to May. Is this just going to be like May, March? Anyway, so this one is particularly exciting. So one of the more interesting up-and-coming bands as far as the whole mathcore scene has been a group called the Callous Dow Boys. Get it? It's a pun. Or a spoonerism. But yeah, so it looks like these guys have scheduled their newest album to come out on May 16th, titled I Don't Want to See You in Heaven. Hard as fuck. I can think of more than a few people I want to say that statement to. Looks at the government. Anyway, for legal reasons, that's a joke. But to commemorate this announcement, we have not one, but two singles here to talk about. The first is called Two-Headed Trout. This one, it definitely opens with a lot of that heavy, steady grooving with these chugged chords and these weird note bends and tremolos. But then you get into the verses, which have way more of a clean guitars and melodic vocals that I'm trying to think of what scene band they remind me of, because I know I've heard something like this before. And my immediate instinct is to compare it to stuff like Issues or like even Dance Gavin Dance. But, I mean, that melodic stuff certainly leaves room for that kind of swerve in the bridge where everything definitely starts to get even more heavy with the guitars throwing in even more effects and the vocals are even more shattering. I might be hot or cold on the melodic stuff, but that heavy stuff is good. And then there's the other single, which also has a pretty hard-as-hell title, The Demon of Unreality Limping Like a Dog. Bro, I wish I could be this good at naming shit. But anyway, this one definitely brings way more of that frantic mathcore energy that you'd want from some of their prior works, from the super off-kilter guitar chugs being punctuated by those super digitized distortion and synthetic effects, all the blast beats and stuff. In fact, the most obvious reference point is that this kind of reminds me of, like, Car Bomb. Like, if anyone other than me is a fan of that band, which I don't think so. I'm very strange like that. The vocals do get a bit more tuneful in the chorus of the song, but then we of course get that nice melodical tropical bridge to help offset things before the last chorus. And we got dog barks, baby!
Yep. We got the anti-rays. We got three of them. in succession.
Oh, man, it's not just the territory of Noctiluce anymore.
Yeah, now this is more my style. Also, I have to give a special mention to the whole music video concept here set around this fictional talk show where they're trying to do a heist of some kind. And then the guy just pulls out a gun on the host and just boom, boom, boom. Then it devolves into just a fight between, you know, the crew and the band. And I'm making it sound lesser than it actually is. It's actually a really good video. Yeah. The first track, it does start off with some more emo alt-style melody before that first drop hits, which is a very good drop. Then the second track starts off with a full Dillinger-style barrage of noise with what I call a reverse drop into more of a pop groove for a bit, all with a very solid melodic chorus. And yeah, arf, arf, arf indeed. This goes pretty hard. I'm in.
You know, that video actually gives me an idea. Hey, Eric Andre, get these guys on the next season of your show. Just saying.
If there is a next season.
Did something happen?
No, but I'm just not... I can never be too certain anymore, considering gestures vaguely at the world.
Oh, God, right, yeah.
Nothing is for certain except stupid people in power.
Anyway, moving on to the last track here. So, once again, sticking in May, also May 16th, looks like the post-metal band Pelican is back. Their last studio album came out in 2019, aka The Before Times in the long, long ago. When my anxiety wasn't anywhere near as high as it is now. But that's neither here nor there. Now, their new album, May 16th, titled Flickering Resonance. And, of course, we have the lead single here, Cascading Crescent. Now, the Pelican style of post-metal is pretty well understood at this point, and the single is just another reminder of that. The tempo rises pretty steady groove, all instrumental. The guitar is vamping on a couple of these, like, pretty nice, like, satisfying chord progressions to kind of flesh out the atmosphere. There's that melodic, distinct bridge section. A solid enough guitar solo to close things out by the end, but the guitar's still layering all those, progressions and vamping. It's pretty satisfying, all things considered. If you like Pelican, you're gonna like this.
Yeah. If there was a thing called vibe out metal, this would be it to a T. It's got a hypnotically swaying groove to it that you can just rock your body to. Probably makes for a fun listening experience while under the influence of something illicit.
God, I wish I could be on something illicit.
Always start off slow, otherwise you'll end up dead.
Huh.
Work your way up.
I get it. It's like endurance. It's like climbing Mount Everest. You gotta acclimate yourself.
Yeah. You gotta start off small before you start boiling stuff in a spoon.
Oh man, I better not get my spoons mixed up. Wait, was this the heroin spoon or was this the chili spoon?
This soup tastes funny. Oh, no.
All right. Enough jokes like that. So, that pretty much just does it for the new song discussion. We only have one real news topic here, and that is, of course, the latest updates for the 30th anniversary of the Vans Warped Tour. The lineup. What we have here is as of February 16th. So, we're going from the 10th to the 16th. Now, of course, picking up with February 10th, first off, we have a band called Spray Allen, which is some kind of psychedelic alt-rock thing formed by Eric Wilson from the band Sublime. Oh, God. their debut album came out in 2022. They're only playing the DC date. Then we got Arrows in Action, a pop-rock group that debuted in 2021. They're playing Orlando. Then we have Carpool, some kind of garage rock, Midwest emo type thing, who debuted in 2018. They're only playing DC. Then we have a dark pop artist named Death by Romy, who debuted in 2018, and they're only playing Orlando. Now, there's a Terror Reed. So, Terror, like, pants-shitting Terror. And then Reed. I'm guessing that that's probably the pun. But anyway, this is a hip-hop project, specifically the hip-hop alias used by electronic producer Getter. This debuted in 2020. They're playing Long Beach. And then we have a pop singer named Ava Maybe, who her current big claim to fame was placing in the top 14 of American Idol season 20.
Oh.
Which, quite frankly, is kind of like being the most famous death metal singer in Boise, Idaho. Yeah, they're only playing Long Beach. Now, before we get to the next date, February 11th, I want to give a bit of a preliminary take real quick. I've seen quite a few mutuals, like, on Facebook and stuff, and even just in the comment sections in general, kind of having the same, who the fuck are you people, sentiment that, like, well, okay, not in that same tone, but the same sentiment that I've had, that, like, yeah, a lot of this is kind of unfamiliar territory outside of scattered acts here and there, but they're trying to make that sound like it's a bad thing, and I'm just like, but why, though? Like, I actually, this is going to sound, you know, like contrarian for the sake of it, but I actually think it's a good thing that, like, the majority of the lineup so far seems to mainly consist of artists from within the past 5 to 10 years. Because, like, okay, look, I get that bringing Warped Tour back as a brand is already something of a nostalgia grab, but does it have to 100% be that way? Like, I was honestly kind of low-key dreading that. Like, I think this is the best-case scenario for this, you know, current iteration of the festival, where, like, they can use the brand name to sort of uplift some up-and-coming artists, in addition to having a bit of those, like, nostalgia power players. Like, my brother in Christ, it's not Kevin Lyman's fault that your taste never evolved past fucking As It Is and Seosin. We get it. You're old. It happens. Like, dude, if you just wanted a pure nostalgia bait version of Vans Warped Tour, isn't that what When We Were Young is for?
You know, that exists. I'll admit it does exist.
Yeah, that has its own set of problems that might result in it probably or probably not coming back. We don't know yet.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'd say good on Warped Tour so far for trying to play to the current trends. Anyway, let's see what's going on February 11th. Avril Lavigne, I just undermined my own point. Yeah, so Avril Lavigne, we know she's been around since 2002. She's only playing DC. Black Veil Brides, god damn it.
Okay.
I hate these fucking guys so much.
I still remember cringing when Knives and Pens was their big debut song or whatever. Oh my god, these fucking glam dweebs. Since 2010.
The peak of Hot Topic Core. Let it die.
They're playing Long Beach in Orlando. Though, not to completely undermine my point, but we do have Vended on the lineup, that being the recent, you know, nu metal project where the two of the members are kids of members of Slipknot. I actually finally listened to that album, and it's alright. Like, it's definitely taking from sort of, like, Iowa and the heavier parts of All Hope Is Gone. It definitely just feels like it's Slipknot again, even the way, like, the vocals are, definitely feel like just, oh hey, that's Corey Taylor's kid. But, I mean, it's solid enough. I'm curious to see what their second album would be, if they can flesh things out from there. They're playing Long Beach in Orlando. Then there's New Year's Day, an alternative metal band that's been around since, like, 2007.
Fucking MySpace core garbage.
Oh, so you know them.
I am aware of their existence. That's all I will say.
They are news to me. Pun not intended. Anyway, they, again, debuted in 2007, they're playing Long Beach in Orlando, and oh my fucking god. Maddie Mullins, get the fuck out of here!
Oh no, not again.
Yes, again. Memphis May Fire. Literally. My only association with them is that fucking weird joke from every pop punk vocalist. Matty Mullins is a horrible person. I was talking about Matty Mullins the whole time. Dude, seriously, what the fuck?
Eep.
But yeah, those guys been around since 2009. They're playing DC and Long Beach. Now, let's move on to February 12th. Maybe there will be some fresher acts on this date, and we're starting with Plain White Tees. God damn it!
Oh my god.
Man, I had this whole rant prepared, and now I'm just contradicting my own point.
Well, looks like we are definitely hitting our quota of nostalgia bands and scene acts, but hey, hopefully it won't be too bad for, like, the rest of, you know, the genre. I mean, I'll just throw a name out here. I mean, at least we have bands like, I don't know, the Amity Affliction that have no drama whatsoever. Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, so they're down bad too right now. Okay, never mind.
Oh, God. Why can't you guys just be normal? Why can't
Days without scene drama. Zero.
Why can't anyone in the scene be fucking normal?
Ugh.
But yeah, the Plain White Tees, who have been around since 2000. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, that long. Ugh.
They didn't materialize into the ether in 2007.
They made a Stalker song, and that was the death knell for them as a serious musical act.
Yeah, and we can remember that as well, because someone tried to do their own version of it.
Thanks, Aubrey!
Oh my god, the layers of suck here just keep multiplying exponentially.
It's like getting multipliers in Australia.
This is like getting the Cavendish card in, but I'm not saying that word out loud.
That's why I interrupted, to make sure you don't have to pay money.
Thank you, but yeah, Plain White Tees, for some, a musical punchline. For me, an iCarly punchline. Speaking of layers of suck. But yeah, they're playing Orlando. So only Florida has to deal with these guys. Anyway, next up. Y'all remember how Fever 333 was a part of the lineup? Well, now Let Vaguely. Live is too.
Oh, goody.
I mean, look, to be fair, they do have a consistently better batting average than Fever 333 does. And this is literally just like a supposed farewell tour. Like, remember, they Let Live disbanded so Fever 333 could happen, but they apparently never did, like, their grand farewell or whatever. But, look, I know I'm sounding fucking dismissive, but Let Live really does have some great music. I swear. So, yeah, they debuted in 2005. They're playing DC and Orlando. And then we have Ice Nine Kills.
Oh no.
Why does the guy have to be a fucking weirdo?
You're gonna have to be more specific. I'm not sure what the weird stuff with this singer is.
Overcharging people for meet and greets. Basically trying to be a quote-unquote scene god. Honestly, just being a cringe lord. We get it. You like horror movies. Move on and make something original, please.
Cringe, yes. However, grading on a curve, that honestly makes him sound like one of the nicest people we've seen so far. As far as I know, he doesn't need to be on a government watch list. He doesn't need to be on a government watch list, right?
As far as I know.
As far as I know, at least he deals.
Okay, thank God. I'll take it.
I mean,
it's mostly just the overcharging of, like, meet and greets and other stuff that he, for some reason, thinks he can charge the fans. Like, you know, we're all broke, right?
Like a mirror. But yeah, they debuted in 2006, and only DC has to deal with this shit. And then Cartel, a pop punk band that debuted in 2005, they are on DC and Long Beach. Alright, let's move on to the announcements of February 13th. We have Sophie Powers, an alternative slash pop punk act that debuted in 2022. They're on all three dates. We have Holding Absence, a post-hardcore act that debuted in 2019. They're only playing Orlando. Then we have a rock slash hip hop act that debuted in 1995 called Big Ass Truck. Uh-huh. They're only playing DC. Then we have We the Kings, which is a pop rock act. And if you're wondering what kind of pop rock, they're signed to S-Curve Records.
Ew.
Okay. I heard that label. I remember hearing that label a long time ago, but it seemed like. I want to say.
I'm pretty sure their very first act was the Baja
Man. I knew it. I knew her name somewhere. I knew her label somewhere.
They also signed Hanson and the Jonas Brothers.
Okay.
Curse you, Steve Greenberg.
Well, the good news is these guys have not had a hit since 2013, and that's being very generous with the definition of the term hit.
Thank fuck. But yeah, they're only playing DC. Well, okay, only. They're playing DC and Long Beach, nor Orlando. Then we have Ring Pop, which is an emo pop-punk act that continues the very, very proud tradition of stupid song titles within the genre. Like, you know what? Let me actually pull this up right now. Let me pull up their sole album, Friend Crush, from 2024. Song titles on here include Oiper's Gonna Oip, Do I Look Like Andrew Garfield, Mario Bros. DS World 5 Level 2, Talladega Nights Is Not Funny. Okay, this band can fuck off. Do not disrespect Talladega Nights, the Ballad of Ricky Bobby, in this good Christian Minecraft server.
Oh, God. Yeah. Like, whatever happened to bands that could write actually competent song titles? Song titles like, it's not a fascist statement, it's a fucking death wish.
Exactly. I choose that over 9,000 XP gained, or Dude Leave.
Or whatever the hell Bring Me the Horizon did on their last album.
The closing track is called Level 99 Ice Cream Wizard.
Okay.
What the fuck?
That sounds like...
I did not know you could do that in Final Fantasy 14.
Is that something I hear on Adventure Time?
Yeah, I think you need a special kind of materia for that. But yeah, they're playing DC and Long Beach. Then we have this rap slash alt rock artist called Dwayne. They debuted in 2021. They're only playing Long Beach. Don't ask, dude. I don't fucking know. All right, now let's go to Valentine's Day, February 14th. First off, we have Head Automatica, which is an indie slash alt-rock project, notably fronted by Daryl Palumbo of the band Glassjaw. They were around since 2004, but they only have two albums under their belt. They're only playing Orlando. Then we have Sweet Pill, an actual honest-to-God Midwest emo act that's been around since 2022. They're playing DC and Long Beach. Then we have a post-hardcore band called The Funeral Portrait, who debuted in 2016. They're only playing Long Beach. And finally, we have Games We Play, which is fueled by Ramen Core.
At least I can say I've never heard of any of these bands, so we're going back to what this is supposed to be.
They debuted in 2024. They're playing all three dates. Then let's move on to February 15th. We have Origami Angel, an emo act that debuted in 2019. They're only playing DC. Then we have a metalcore slash deathcore act called 1056. 10 is a word, 56 is not. There's a period in there.
Okay.
At the end, after the 56.
Okay, like, so I don't come up. Okay, so it's one of those bands. The one that said, we did this death way. Like, I want to say pretentious, but I don't know.
They debuted in 2021. They're only playing Orlando. Then we have an emo act called Common Sage, who debuted in 2018. They're only playing Long Beach. We have a pop rock act called Hot Milk. They debuted in 2023. They're only playing Long Beach. And finally, we have Crown the Empire. I'm not happy about it either.
I think Grandma's taking the bad news.
On the bad end of the whole scene core scene.
Ew.
Yeah. They've been stinking up the joint since 2012. They're playing Orlando. And finally, we have February 16th, which only brought us three announcements. The first is, oh, hey, look at that. Better Lovers. Delicious. Finally, some good fucking food. Yeah, they're playing Long Beach and Orlando. Then we have Chiodos. You know, we got to meet the Craig Owens quota. They debuted in 2005. They're playing DC and Long Beach. Then we have a hip-hop act called Echo. E-K-O-H. They've been around since 2013. They're only playing Long Beach. So, yeah. Enjoy that plain white tea set, I guess.
Ugh.
Or the brides.
Play it at the light! Ow!
Yeah, I'm just... If I was going, I would stick with the Better Lovers and the like, but... I don't know. You know, for some reason, the Facebook ads keep telling me that, like, oh, we're almost sold out. I'm like, bitch, you've been saying that for, like, 2 weeks now. What are you, edging? And not in the sexy way? Man, I really gotta stop running my mouth when I run out of stuff to say. Anyway, the point is, those are your announcements for now. I think we got about another week or so. Hang on, if I could double check when the first announcements dropped. January 27th. So, yeah, we got about another week or so. We're going to pick this back up when we get to it. But, so, yeah, that about does it for all that business. We got one last thing to wrap up here, and that is the new album releases for the week of February 21st, 2025. Starting at the top, for you 2000s metalcore kids, we have the newest Killswitch Engage album, The Consequence. From Silverstein, we have a double album, Anti-Bloom, Pink Moon. From Roddy Rich, we have The Navy album. Will there be any TikTok memes? Who knows?
Probably not.
And finally, there's the new Tate McRae album, So Close to What? But, yeah, that's about it. Time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
My other show, the Discord, the Sky Blue platform, and other places because, yeah, you know the drill by now.
Indeed, we do. Mark, what about you?
Of course, Blue Sky Metamedia, where I'm, well, begging for money because why not? And of course, my site, MyHype100Doubles.com. And since I'm going to bring this up, in case you didn't notice, we did not do a roundup this month, well, for last month because, well, not really have much. But, however, I do have my version, I do have my part of it in written form on the site.
True. So go look at that. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@stuartresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New all new only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky at Surreal Resolution. Visit the website, surrealresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. And, of course, be sure to jump into the Discord server from there so you can chat, be immediately notified when new stuff goes on the site, all that fun business. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual business. And until next time, you know, I just really want a fuck ton of rice right now. Like I just want to eat my entire body weight in rice right now. That's not a joke. I just like rice.